This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Nichushkin slithers his way into the zone. Nichushkin tucks it in. He scores! It's the choo-choo train pulling into the station.
He snags the puck, races over the line, goes left, into the circle, now to the slot. Shoots, he scores! He hammered it home! The Boston Bruins have matched the franchise record. This is their 57th win of the season.
In the box.
Cross ice, Matthews. Top of the circle to Riley, a shot. Rebound, scores! JT, Johnny Toretto! And the Leafs have a 3-1 lead.
Miller to the point for Hughes, shot tip. Stop, rebound, they score! Pettersson jammed it in as it was loose behind Mrazek in the crease, and the Canucks go up 3-1.
And off the draw, the puck sent up the boards, not out, held in, Doughty, a shot, he scores! Make that 4-for-4 with shots on the power play tonight. They're up 7-5.
TSN 1200.
He'll let a shot go high over top of the net, and that will do it. 51 wins on the season for the Ottawa 67s. 107 points. Both Ottawa 67s franchise records with this 5-1 win over the Barrie Colts.
What is in the box?
Hughes ends up with it again. Moves it across. Here's Hamilton with a shot. Scores! Puts it over top of Ferguson, and the Devils retake the lead.
Now with the real host of the show, Chris Stevenson. Here's Steve Lloyd on CJ 1200.
Oh, you're going to hear that a lot lately in the next little while. You heard it Friday. You heard it today. All of next week when we're on location covering the World Curling Championships. Congratulations to the Einers in Rink, who won bronze in the women's side of things, but we're hosting the men's here in our fine city next week. So Chris Stevenson will be with me all. And then I think at least the next couple days after that. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be CJ 1200 once again here for the next little while. You can hear in the background, you hear pucks being slapped around. Morning skate will be getting underway in the next little while here. Just a couple of players starting to trickle out onto the ice. It is game day. We've got the Florida Panthers in town taking on the Sens. The Panthers right in the thick of the playoff race. Outside looking in, but a little bit closer to Pittsburgh and the Islanders, of course, than Ottawa is. Sens coming off a tough loss against Jersey on Saturday. Time's running out. Mathematically still in it. They might have to run the table. To be in the mix is where the Sens are at. But as you heard from Derek Brassard and others yesterday after the optional, they're going to play this thing right out to the bitter end. And they got a couple against the Panthers, in fact, before the season's out. So one of the teams they're chasing, one of them's tonight. 7 o'clock face-off on TSN 1200. 5 o'clock for your pregame show. And, oh, yeah, there's something else going on today. The commissioner is in town for his annual visit to Ottawa, because he visits every team at least once officially throughout the course of an NHL season, but the timing is serendipitous. This time around, worked out this way, I'm sure angled this way, because groups are in the city, have been in the city, will be in the city again. It's not like the first time these interested parties have been to Ottawa as the sale process moves along and the mayor's meeting with the NCC. The commissioner's meeting with the mayor, meeting with the NCC, meeting with the Senators organization, and he's going to join us on TSN 1200 to kick off the pregame show at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So we look forward to that discussion as well. Let's settle right in. It is Steve Lloyd. It is Chris Stevenson. It is the horse, Kenny Walls, because you might have heard the highlights, because the 67s know they're playing the Jennies now, the Generals and 67s. We'll open it up later this week at the Slush Puppy Center, and hang on, CJ, because I want to bring in the man of the hour here, okay? Good morning, Kenny Walls. Is Thursday going to be enough time? Because I'm not going to ask you to speak a lot, so I'm just going to say hello here. You need the rest of that voice. How are we feeling?
Good morning, Lloyd. I'm doing okay.
No, you're not.
I feel fine. My voice is gone, and it started to go on Thursday. Made it through Friday and Saturday. I don't know if...
Oh, no.
Wednesday's going to be a great day to be co-hosting with you.
Oh.
But we'll see. We'll power through.
You know what? Maybe we'll have to twist JR's arm, you know, to maybe let you rest your voice if you're still like this maybe on Tuesday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll see. Have to see.
Okay, but you feel fine. You just
sound
awful.
Yeah, I feel great.
You're not sick. You just, the voice went.
The voice went. It started to go on Thursday and never really recovered. Tea and all that other good stuff just never seemed to get there.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm finding it funny because to hear you like this, that's bad. I shouldn't laugh.
It's rare, though, because
we've all been there.
AJ gets it quite a bit, right? We've heard AJ talk like this a number of times, and normally it's, not all the time, but it's more common than most others. This is really the first time that it's happened to me. So it's unfortunate timing, really.
Well, it was the 3 and 2.5 days, right? And it started on Thursday, the start of it, right? You started to feel it for game one of that stretch of games and the regular season.
Correct.
And then
yep.
You had to keep calling games.
Yep.
Yep. There we go. Okay. All right, Kenny. We'll leave you alone for the most part. Try to rest that voice as much as you can. But, yeah. Good morning, CJ. There's Kenny. See, that's sad, eh? I go to him. It's a running gag on the show, and not a gag. It's me. I'll forget to acknowledge Kenny's presence an hour into the show. But I don't hesitate to go to him right away when I can get a little fun, have a little fun with him at his expense. That's kind of bad on my part. I'm not a good person. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. Yeah, we're here. Players are coming onto the ice. We've got games that still matter. A lot going on today with, I think a pivotal day in the ownership process here, the selling of the team process. So lots going on. They've still got a sniff, as tenuous as it might be. Mm-hmm. Not dead yet. Florida's in, which is one of the teams that you're chasing. So yeah, to me, this is one of the best days of the hockey season. They're still in the battle, and while we might not glean a lot of inside information today, the fact that we know the process is taking a big step forward today, is making progress, is the most important thing for me for the future of the franchise and what this team is going to look like, what this team is going to have as a new philosophy perhaps going forward. A really, really big day in the history of the Ottawa Senators franchise.
One part of this, and you and I spent quite a bit of time on this on Friday's show, right? And it, to me, this is information that's been sitting there forever, and it's just a matter of when it's going to come up again. And it, obviously, it's going to be coming up again. It's coming up as we speak, right? It's obvious. LeBreton Flats is the preferred spot. The mayor throws out some other... You and I had this discussion on Friday.
Yep.
So as you parse through all of this here, of course, the new rink is a huge part of the sale process of this team.
Yeah.
And how do you maximize your value if you're a prospective buyer? You want to be able to put more than just a rink on that land. And the Senators, when they went into the agreement to discuss this months ago with the NCC, thinking was it was a rink and maybe a hotel. And that's all there's room for the 6 or 7 acres allotted. It always made perfect sense that anybody that's going to bid on this team, especially if they're going to be paying what they're going to be paying for it, of course that's going to be another discussion with the NCC. So, is there any other land, more land available? Is that a possibility as we consider buying the Ottawa Senators and, of course, about the new rink? How about a little more land so we can do a little bit more with the footprint here?
Yeah.
And it's like that's part of the discussion today with the NCC speaking to the commissioner, ergo through the other interested parties to buy this team. At this point, CJ, and we can just run a couple segments from Friday's show to discuss this again if we want.
Well, actually, it goes back weeks and weeks that we've been talking about this idea that, you know, the current footprint is about 7 acres. I had somebody tell me, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago that, you know, don't be surprised what's our term? The preferred proponent? Was that the expression the NCC used when they picked, you know, when they picked the Ruddy Melnick consortium the first time around? Don't be surprised if the preferred proponent, you know, pushes for up to 25 acres. Having that number thrown out there, it's not just somebody, you know, pulling that number out of their butt. The people who are interested in bidding on the team have been looking at this, so they think there's the possibility of 25 acres being available and up for negotiation. Now, at this point, refresh my memory if you remember better than I do. But if not, for all of LeBreton at this point, is the only thing they've really kind of committed to is kind of like the library district
They've started on that.
Yes.
And you and I are thinking the same way. I think it'd be, after, let's call it what it was, it was a bleep show the way it ended, you know, in lawsuits and the reason why LeBreton fell apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So when the NCC wanted to restart this here, to change the game plan from the outset, made sense. All right, let's parcel this a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And not go for the grand scale ask for bids. Let's break this off in the small chunks. And depending on how quickly this process, which is, you know, here we are, this team's being sold, the prospect of a new arena is certainly back on the table, then doesn't mean you can't scale it back up again.
Yeah.
Right? Because you haven't
exactly.
You haven't committed beyond the library, basically for a lot of this land.
Yep. And that's you know, what I've been hearing in the conversations that I've had with a couple of people very much on the periphery of what's going on. And, you know, a lot of it too is, as we like to say, reading the tea leaves and the smell test when you put all these things through those filters, that's what you're left with. That's what you're left thinking, you know, makes the most sense. I wouldn't be surprised if, as different groups come through town, the local group, which, you know, is rumored to have put together about $100 million to throw into the pot. And more importantly than the money that they might be able to present is the tremendous expertise and knowledge of this marketplace that they can bring to one of these other groups. I mean, let's face it, most of the money is going to come from outside of Ottawa. The new owner is going to come from outside of Ottawa. So having the expertise of that local group be a part of your consortium, to me, is going to be critical, because these are people that, A, have a lot of money in this marketplace to start with, B, know the movers and shakers in town and are well positioned to be able to, you know, mend the relationship between the hockey franchise and the key members of the community, and C, just know the lay of the land, here, and know people municipally, know people provincially, know people federally, to try and help all those different levels come together. Because I have no question that all levels of government are going to be approached to see what they can do to help make this project work. And it might not be, and I know there's not much appetite among people, and rightly so. I don't think there should be public money put
I'm with you on
into
that.
This into
there
this
are other
rink.
Ways to create a little bit of value, though.
That's
without
it.
Without writing a check.
That's it. So, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, a break in taxes or something. And again, some will be like, hey, they should be paying their fair share. Look at it this way, folks. If you're going to build it on a piece of land that would otherwise not be occupied by an entity that could produce the amount of income and taxable income that a hockey franchise would, and everything that goes with it, with the retail and you're probably going to have residential anyway. But when I think of it in terms of the amount of revenue that could be generated from a retail and from whatever number of nights are occupied by hockey games and concerts, comes back to one of your favorite questions. Is it better to have 65% of $1 billion in revenue or none? So if you give them a little bit of a tax break as an encouragement to do this project, and I think about, you know, the public-private alliance that has seen Lansdowne become a reality, and they're looking at now doing Lansdowne 2.0, that it is possible that there can be a win-win situation between public and private entities to make this happen. So there will be requests to all levels of government, I'm sure, asking, you know, what can you do to make this project work short of actually putting public money in? Because if you give a project like that, to me, a tax break, it's still a net gain for all the levels of government because of the money that's going to be generated that wouldn't otherwise be generated.
To me, what it comes down to, the negotiation and the ask, comes down to the various levels of government. How much will you take from the added revenue that we will be generating with this project?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, with the added tax revenue and everything that goes into it.
For it to pass the smell test for me, then, there has to be a net gain for the taxpayer.
Yes. Yep.
There has to be a net gain for the taxpayer.
I'm a sports fan. You're a sports fan, but not at any cost.
That's it.
It's got to make sense.
Yeah.
I live here. I pay taxes here.
Yeah. So if they give the new owner a bit of a tax break to build on at LeBreton, and whether that's, you know, from the NCC, from the federal government, municipal, provincial, if they give them a tax break, but the net gain for the taxpayer because of the amount of revenue being generated is still there, then I see that as a win-win.
All right. With that, we'll take a break, and Morning Skate is just getting underway. A couple notable things we've noticed already. We'll bring that to you next. It's the Sens and Panthers at 7 o'clock face-off tonight. 5 o'clock for your pregame show with Gary Bettman will join us right off the top on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Okay, welcome back to it. Morning Skate continues for the Sens and Panthers tonight. 9 games left in the season for the Sens. We'll get to the math in just a moment here. Panthers are closer. They're right on the heels. But this is a big game for the Panthers tonight. If they lose tonight, right, and the Islanders are also in action, Sens are at a point where we said off the top, they need to probably run the table or darn close to it, like to have a chance even. That's why you play the game, CJ.
Yep.
But they can certainly spoil the party big time for the Florida Panthers, especially with a regulation win tonight. So 7 o'clock face-off, 5 o'clock for your pregame show, and the commissioner's in town, all kinds of meetings, and part of his annual visit, he visits every city at least once, officially, on an official basis, every NHL season, and he's here tonight. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock off the top of the pregame show. All right, so the nuts and bolts on the ice. Two things. Looks like Matthew Joseph's going to make his return to the lineup tonight with the rotations that we're seeing with the forward group at the Morning Skate. And I wonder if there's going to be a goaltender transaction later today with Dylan Ferguson going back to Belleville. Sogard's in the starter's end, but Cam Talbot has been sharing the other net and has been there quite a bit. Ferguson's in there as we speak.
Yep.
But Cam Talbot's now over having a chat with Zach Burke, the goaltending coach. So he's close. And the next game is not till Thursday when the Philadelphia Flyers are coming to town, CJ. So
yeah, I mean, it comes down to the question of whether or not Talbot is comfortable enough to back up tonight. So if he feels well enough to play, if called upon, then yes, I agree with what you're thinking is there, that Ferguson will probably be sent back to Belleville.
But it would seem, though, by the time Thursday rolls around, barring something unforeseen setback here, Cam Talbot should be fully available by Thursday. This is what it looks like.
Yes.
Right? This is what it's been
tracked. If he's capable if he's capable of backing up tonight, then he should be able to start on Thursday.
Matthew Joseph, who has missed a fair amount of time again, and he called the injury similar to the one that he had earlier in the season. It's a lower body injury that he suffered, just kind of an awkward collision into the end boards a few weeks ago. And it looks like he'll get back in. So, and it would appear that Julian Gauthier would be drawing out of the lineup here for tonight's game. And it appears that's going to happen. All right, so there's your kind of nuts and bolts on the matchup here. And I heard JR and Bakes, Jamie Baker, is going to be part of the pregame show. And he was on with JR this morning discussing this.
It's Bakes 1200 today.
Yeah, well, easy now, though. He's mowing your lawn.
I know.
About to have a conversation about that. So, Brady Tkachuk and Matthew Tkachuk are both having career seasons. And it's really impressive with Matthew Tkachuk because he had 104 points last season.
Yes.
And he's probably going to surpass that.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for the all-world season that Connor McDavid's having this year, Matthew Tkachuk might win the Hart Trophy. Like, if the Panthers, especially if they can make the playoffs, and I know that's another conversation altogether, that's the kind of year Matthew Tkachuk's having in his first year with the Florida Panthers. And yet Brady scores again the other night, and Brady's better than a point a game and being the captain of this team. This tonight is the most meaningful game that they've played against each other since they've both come into the league.
Yeah,
they're
that's
a divisional
fair.
Rival,
yep.
And they're both teams feel that they're still in the playoff race, and here we go. So from an individual standpoint, that's going to be fun to watch tonight. It's always fun when the Tkachuk brothers play each other, but there's some juice to this one, CJ, right? Beyond the obvious, hey, isn't this neat and how competitive they both are.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing for the respective clubs tonight with a lot on the line.
Yeah, certainly there have been games when Matthew was with Calgary where the game would have been more significant for the Flames. But in terms of what's at stake for both teams and for both brothers, and Walt's here to take it in, as you'd expect, the significance of this game is the greatest it's been since the two brothers have been playing against each other in the NHL. So another layer. I think they're well past it now. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit tired talking about it, and I don't blame them. But in terms of the significance for the teams and what's at stake, this is the biggest game that Florida and Ottawa have played, and the Tkachuk brothers have played against each other.
Yeah, I only bring it up because you're right. I don't want to. Everybody plays hard, right? Especially the Tkachuk brothers. They play hard all the time. You know, that's one of the qualities of both of those players.
Yep.
Not very often you go, ooh. Didn't feel much from that player tonight, right? Like it's the floor of the intensity floor is pretty high.
Yeah, even the games where the Senators haven't been good, Brady's usually bringing some spice at the end of the game. Which game was it when he was chirping with the goaltender near the end?
Chicago.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, he does not go quietly into the good night.
But it should. You know, from the team perspective, I just think it's notable because on paper, where they are in the standings and they're facing each other tonight and they got another game against each other before the end of the season, the intensity level for both teams at the same time as they play in a game should be there. What are you doing? No.
Felt the urge to tweet something, so we'll see.
CJ's taking a picture of me. Oh, my goodness. That's not good.
You're looking sharp today, man.
All right. All right. Moving right along, shall we? I should tee up somewhat what's going on here on the show today with terms of giving. Kenny's kicking this off because DJ's going to speak soon. All right, so I'll squeeze this in, Kenny. We got a four-pack of tickets again for the final home game of the season against Carolina. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. We'll do a little trivia later in the show. We also have that's the last week of our code words, and it's an Artem Zub sends Adidas Pro jersey on the line each and every week. So we have code words in the 11-hour and the 1-hour. And I can tell you later this week, starting tomorrow, we've got an all-day ticket giveaway for 67's Game 1. Coming up on Thursday at the Slush Puppy Center against the Generals. And we'll do it again for Game 2 on Thursday as well. So there's our giving today and setting up the week for you. Morning Skate winding down. We'll hear from the coach shortly. Sens and Panthers tonight on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Okay, coach is off. Media has left the stands, and there's a lot of media here today. Wonder why. Wonder why, CJ. Oh, yes, the commissioner's in town. Oh, yes, there's a pending sale of the club that seems to be getting a little closer to the preferred proponent. Yeah, let's go with that. They haven't officially kind of – that hasn't been the hockey speak buzz phrase this go around, but we're going to go with it because that was the buzz phrase last go around.
Yeah.
So because
we'll resurrect that.
Yeah, the sale isn't imminent. We're still months away from a rubber stamp of any sale, but I don't think we're that far away from it getting out there, maybe even being – officially pronounced that this is what we're going forward with to try to get to the finish line. So
And I, you know, when you think about the timing of it, you and I were talking about it when we came on the air, and my thinking would be that there's usually a board of governors meetings around the draft.
Yeah.
They're inching closer, right, after the pandemic completely threw the hockey calendar out of whack. They're inching back to getting back on the traditional timing for everything. What's the draft this year? July 1st, I think, in Nashville. So it's only about a week off. I think it is.
No,
I could be wrong. Do you think it's back to June?
Yeah, no, it's there. I think I got to look at the critical dates again.
You throw me for a loop.
I'm pretty sure we're back to July 1st is free agency. We're back to the way it used to be.
Okay,
and so the draft is the weekend before of July 1st, because July 1st is the new NHL year, right? That's when it kicks off. So as I'm stalling for you, I'm pretty sure we're back to normal this year.
I'm just trying to see.
All right.
NHL.com tentative calendar. We'll get to that. Okay. My point being that whenever that Board of Governors meeting is going to happen, whether it's late June, early July, whatever, I would think the league would like to be able to bring the approval for the new ownership in Ottawa to that meeting. And for that being one of the, for that to be one of the big items. June 28th. There we go. June 28th, round one.
You got any WD-40 for that cart going by us here? Sorry, a little distracting.
I was going to make a reference to maybe, hey, did one of our other hosts show up early to do a show? Sometimes, you know, the squeaky wheel, but...
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Never mind. So June 26th, NHL Awards, June 28th, round one, June 29th,
yes,
round two. So, yeah, we're still maybe about a week off of what we traditionally view as the NHL's calendar. But I would say that, I think in a perfect world, the NHL would like to be able to bring the Ottawa ownership position situation to that Board of Governors meeting, whenever it is, end of June, beginning of July, to get that rubber stamped by the Board of Governors. So I would say, and you can ask the commissioner that question if maybe that's the timing, but I would say that that's probably what they're looking at.
All right, so that'll be, I I don't have a lot with Gary Bettman at five. I'm going to try to get to as many pertinent questions.
Yes. Yeah, because there's lots.
In the brief amount of time, because he's going
to
be off
to,
yep. to some more meet and greets and what have you. And then he's got a main media availability during the 6 o'clock hour and in town today. So we got a lot of questions. We'll try to get to as many of them as we possibly can.
And when you talk
today.
About when you talk about, there's a lot
coach,
of media people
coach,
here.
Coach,
oh, here we go.
Here's coach.
Playing dirty, coach.
Oh, yeah.
Look at
the
toughest late in the season.
Coach, what can you tell us about your lineup for tonight?
Should be the same. We're going to have a game time decision or two on some guys that are nicked up.
Look like Matthew Joseph is getting closer.
Yeah, he is. He'll be one of the game time decisions.
Are you optimistic that you can get Cam Talbot back this week?
He skated this morning. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, see how he feels. We have an off day, scheduled off day tomorrow, and then we have a practice day. and then we'll see if he's able to either play or back up against Philly, and then possible return after that.
Your team really seemed to get up for those two games against Detroit at the end of the end of last month. Are you hoping maybe they can tap into that same type of mentality, the two games against Florida this week and next?
Yeah, I think they're very similar situations. The back-to-back set it up uniquely. But, yeah, I mean – Florida's ahead of us. They're clawing to get in, and so are we. And obviously, this is a big game for both of us. Our guys know, but every game's at this point, you got nine to go. We know the task at hand, what we have to do, but we got to start by being good today.
We haven't seen Jacob Chychrun for a couple days now. What's the update on him, and like, what is his injury?
It's a hamstring. I don't know what exactly the muscle or which muscle, but it's 2 to 3 weeks for sure.
Was it from that incident with Hedman in the
game? No, it was later in the game. Went back, got his foot stuck, and just, unfortunate. It's a big difference. When you have him out there in front of the net, he's such a big guy that's mobile, gets pucks to the net. He gave us a lot more offense and clearly, a guy that can help us break out as well.
Does Clevin need a couple more practice?
He hasn't, that's his first, because of the schedule, that's his first time, the morning, little more morning skate day off. He will have a full practice after the day off, and then that would possibly be a game where we would think of putting him in. I mean, you just jumping right into the NHL after he played, and then, college, whatever they do at the end of the college year, teams, it's usually not conditioning. And, it takes you a couple days to get your legs and everything back. And then clearly the NHL, as fast as it is, a good practice with the guys, full team. We want to set them up for success, but we will get them in.
So maybe the Flyers is what you're saying with that
There's
schedule.
A possibility of that, yeah, for sure. And, we'll see how he goes and everything goes. But you got to remember he's a young guy, and you got to put him in spots to succeed. Home, playing at home is certainly a better option, can we get him with an older guy that's going to help him through it, that kind of thing. But we will get him in.
Kachuk's ability to, get in behind the defense, blow the zone kind of at the right time and look for that stretch pass, it seems like he's gotten very good at it for a guy who's kind of hard to miss on the ice. What do you make of his ability?
Who's that?
Kachuk. His ability to get in behind the D and blow the zone and time it right.
Well, his ability to jump on possession and, when Timmy gets it, a lot of times people are, you're watching him. He's got the puck, and it's his ability to getting behind. It's one thing. It's the ability to get it to him. And the guys to get their head up and move it in speed. So he reads the play really well. He pushes out when he has to, but then the next part is, under pressure, guys like, Timmy and Jake and Chabby and these guys coming around the net, find them up the middle. That's just a skill of a play.
Does Brady show up more when his family is around and Brother.
I don't know. These kids, to me, our guys have given everything they've have. And whether it's, guys on the back end or the guys up front, when you talk about Brady, they're showing up every game to play. And, they're a hockey family. So clearly, playing his brother and everyone's here, and he's going to want to be the best out there tonight. But, really, if you go back and look at our games, a lot of the same guys are pushing hard every single night for this team.
What's the, I don't know if it's a dilemma with Kachuk when he kind of gets rushed, forced into the fight. You don't want him off the ice, but
What's the give and take there? With-
I didn't like the play. I didn't like that a guy, you know, just jumps and sprints to him off the bench the way he did. Brady, being as brave as he is and you know, was going to take on whoever, you know, in that situation, you don't want him fighting. Like, it, for sure. You know, to me, one of your leading goal scorers, one of your top players, the other team should not dictate when and where a guy like him goes and sits in the penalty box. And he kind of got put in that spot. You know, he did what he had to do, but that's certainly not, you know, what we want. I mean, we want him to play, you know, and you know, we don't want him going off with you know, fourth line guys or guys that are under, you know, the amount of minutes that he plays per se. You know, he missed a power play. He's in the penalty box and he misses a power play, you know, at the end of the day.
How do you control it? Like,
well, I mean, it's hard to tell a guy to say no, you know, when you're a brave guy and you play as hard as he does, you know, he's not going to say no very often, but you know, that's the hard part, you know. You know, like I said, he's brave. If there was more time and, you know, players could have got in there and pushed whatever, but like I said, ultimately he misses a power play shift because he's in the box.
There's usually the biggest stories around a team are obviously on the ice and stuff, but with this whole ownership chat really heating up, I'm curious how that impacts a team and a coach. Just, do you guys talk about that, or does it affect you at all?
No, I mean, ultimately, it's your job, right? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, who's going to be the boss? You know, there's that. But at the end of the day, you just got to do your job. I mean, these players, whether they're here or some guys go to other teams, they're going to deal with different owners, different things. Things will be completely different next season, you know, when it comes to the way the new ownership's going to run things or whatever. But ultimately, these players are playing as hard as they can right now. And, you know, when the season ends and everything transpired, I think they'll deal with it then. But for the most part, they're keeping it internal.
All set, folks?
Thank you.
Head coach DJ Smith in conversation with the media. So nuts and bolts time. He says probably the same lineup. But then Matthew Joseph is a possibility. So don't be surprised if Joseph at least takes a warm-up. And I think we got the answer to the goaltending question. Looks like Cam Talbot won't back up tonight. According to the tone that DJ Smith was talking or using there and discussing his goaltending here. So look for Dylan Ferguson to continue to be the backup. But and the Klevin thing, interesting. It would appear that at the very least Talbot could be dressing on Thursday against the Flyers, CJ, and maybe Tyler Klevin place, and it's they're not going to have two full practices, off day tomorrow.
Yes.
So he'll have another full practice coming up on Wednesday and then get him in. And basically the way it sits right now, there are 9 games left in the schedule, and then we're down to 8. The coach wants to play him. It's quite clear. He would love to get him in ASAP, but sounds like they're going to wait at least another game.
Yep. And it'll make sense. I mean, no point rushing Talbot back. He's still out on the ice here. Everybody's gone off except for a couple of players. Ferguson's working up the other end of the ice. Talbot's working with the goaltending coach right now. So, yeah, all of that sounds like proper timing. Really, no point rushing Talbot back at this point. So it all sounds good in terms of the timing. Joseph, Klevin, it all makes sense.
All right, with that, we'll take our top hour break. A few players still out working on a few individual things. Morning skate's over. Florida Panthers in town tonight, 5 o'clock for your pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off on TSN 1200.